speak to you in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. Thomas is one of my favorite disciples. In fact, my wife and I are such fans that our son's middle name is Thomas. And we gave him that name in part because Thomas the disciple, he says what he's thinking, and he is not afraid to ask questions. Now, sometimes Thomas gets labeled Doubting Thomas in kind of a derogatory way, and he can get a bad rap for asking questions about Jesus' resurrection. But if you really look at the story, what he's asking for is to be able to experience what everybody else did. Now, when the story starts, if you notice, it's actually the evening of that first Easter day. In John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene and a couple of the other disciples, they've seen the empty tomb, and Jesus has appeared to Mary Magdalene, but she's the only one who's seen Jesus up to this point. And so here it is, night, 3 days after their friend has been brutally murdered and killed, and the disciples are huddled together in a locked room. They are full of grief. They are afraid. And in the early part of the reading, when it says that the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, it's more appropriate to think about it as fear of the religious authorities. And their fear was legit, because they might have been killed, or at least arrested, for being Jesus' followers. I wonder if another reason that they were so wrapped up in fear was because they were afraid to confront their own failures. Think about Peter alone. He denies Jesus 3 times. So many of them weren't there at the crucifixion or there for Jesus in these moments of his greatest pain and trial. Well, it's into this level of fear and grief and anxiety that Jesus suddenly appears in a locked room. And the first words out of his mouth are peace. There's no shaming or blaming or attacking. Instead, he says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them the wounds on his body, and he breathes on them, and he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit, just like that. But Thomas wasn't there. He missed getting to see his friend. He didn't get to hear these words of reassurance and encouragement. And so he is still, understandably, in that place of grief and uncertainty. And he says, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." In other words, I need to see and feel what you all did. And who can blame him for reacting this way? Jesus certainly doesn't seem to. A week later, Jesus comes back, and when he sees Thomas, he gives him what he needs to believe. I want to pause for just a second. The Greek word for believe shows up a lot in the Bible in general, but really a lot in John's Gospel. The word it's less about this kind of like intellectual assent to an idea, and it's more about trust. When Jesus shows him his wounds and lets him touch him, Thomas's response is, "My Lord and my God." He believes. He's trusting what he's seeing. He is trusting what is in front of him. He is trusting Jesus. One more little word thing, which I think is kind of a fun fact, but also important to understand. Resurrection literally means stand again. And so that's what Jesus does when he rises from the dead. But in this story, and in so many of the Easter appearance stories, he's also helping his friends stand again. He's trying to help get them out of that locked room and back out into the world. And he's doing this because he's going to leave them again. And they're going to have to find ways to live and grow and deepen their lives of faith without him physically present. And they do. We get a little glimpse of what some of those early followers of the way, these early Jesus followers, what their life looked like in the stories in Acts. The one we get today, the community, it's trying to embody the grace that Jesus did. It says that none are in need because there is genuine sharing, and the love of neighbor is embodied in this bold and really radical way where everything is shared. Also, notice their focus isn't really on this assurance of a promise of eternal life in heaven. Their focus is on making God's kingdom real here on earth. Now, I'm not going to ask you to sell all your possessions and sell your homes. I don't think that would go over real well. But I do want to challenge us as a community to think about how we embody being a place of grace in our nation's capital. That's kind of a motto that we have. It's in our mission statement. It's on our website. One of the first things you'll see, a place of grace in our nation's capital. And so how do we do that in really tangible ways? When I was an undergrad, I went to Sewanee, which is this wonderful, kind of weird, blessedly beautiful school on the Cumberland Plateau in Tennessee. Some of you here or watching online might be familiar with it. And Sewanee has a motto, and it's Ecce Quam Bonum. And some of you probably know the Latin better than I do, but it's Latin for behold how good. Sewanee's motto is behold how good, and it comes from the opening verse of our psalm today, Psalm 133. We get a little bit, slightly different translation of it when we lose the behold, but you get the meaning. Oh, how good and pleasant it is. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. And it's the school's motto because of the way it speaks to this aspiration of living into community. EQB, or Ecce Quam Bonum, in the university setting, it's about trying to live with integrity, trying to respect the dignity of everyone, valuing free expression and thought, showing self-control, and developing relationships that are grounded in trust. Does this always happen? Of course not, right? We're human, and especially when a large percentage of that population is between 18 and 22 years old, it doesn't always happen. But it's a motto and an approach to community that is real and that it's strived for by many who are in the orbit of Sewanee. And here at St. John's, I wonder how we might describe our approach to living into Christian community. How do we live into our commitment as Easter people, as the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement, in this particular place, in this city, when our nation and our world is aching for signs of resurrection? We live in a time when belief and trust is hard to come by. Many worry that they're never going to stand again, and others are so dug into standing firm that they step on others to do so and just to maintain their position. Well, as Christians, our identity, it's grounded first and foremost always in baptism, in the commitments that we make or the ones that are made on our behalf as children to turn toward God and to turn away from forces of evil and death and sin. We're going to get to reaffirm those promises in just a few moments after we welcome Ella and Ford into the body of Christ. And when it comes time for us to renew the baptismal covenant, I want you to really read those words. Listen to what you're saying, I will with God's help, what those promises are. Because when we take them seriously, it shows up in how we live our lives. It shows up in the office, in our bedrooms, at our dinner tables, and yeah, how we spend our money and how we use our resources. How are we at St. John's going to show forth in our lives what we profess by our faith? And we all have a role to play in this. I want to play into a sports metaphor for just a moment because, I mean, the women's national championship, the basketball game is today at 3 p.m. It's going to be awesome. I digress. But there are seasons in our life when we can and we might have to sit on the sidelines. We can blend into the crowd a little bit, but at any moment, if we are healthy and we are a member of the team, we might be called on to step onto the court. And behind the scenes, bench players, they are critical. I've played that role before on several teams in my life. But you're part of every practice, every huddle, every team meal. You're the first to cheer. You're the first to console. In Christian community, it's a team sport. too. It's not just us up here making it happen. It's all of us. One of my favorite lines from today's gospel is when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." It's so powerful because he is talking about you. He is talking to me. He is calling us blessed. Because unless you can time travel, we were not there 2,000 years ago to see and experience Jesus' ministry in person. And yet we've come to believe, to trust God and Christ. And we're here in this room, literally, because of the testimony, the witness of others to his life and his death and his resurrection. We're here maybe because we've experienced resurrection, of God coming alongside us to help us stand again. And maybe that looked like someone or a community that helped hold us when we were locked up in grief and fear and doubt. And maybe you've had a personal experience of the divine at this critical moment in your life. But we're here because we want to see, we want to believe, we want to trust. And so whatever has brought us here in this room, even if you're here because a family member made you be here and you don't really want to be here right now, you are here, and so is God. And together, we can come up with some holy and some good trouble. But in order to do that, we have to trust. We have to trust God, and we have to take seriously forming relationships based on trust in this community. In short, we have to live like we know the risen Lord. Thomas said to the disciples, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." That is what Thomas needed in that moment, to stand again, to believe in resurrection. I wonder what you'd say you need to believe. What would it take for you to believe, to trust God? And to really think about that. And if something comes to mind, say it. Name it. Be bold like Thomas. But it also comes with a warning, because Jesus might show you what you're asking for. And you risk being astonished, just like Thomas. Christ is calling out to us in a myriad of ways, saying, "Peace be with you." Resurrection is all around. Ecce quam bonum, behold how good. Amen.